Your Royal Highnesses, Your Excellencies, my lords, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Vicar. Having a night off?
Well, jolly good. The Embassy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and starring Derek Francis and Frank Foote. Magic letters, OHMS. What visions of splendor do they conjure up for you? Apart from that nasty little buff envelope that drops through your letterbox with a monotonous regularity every year, of course. Surely being on Her Majesty's service also creates the image of the lone patriot battling for his queen and country in foreign climes, surrounded by mosques and minarets, flying fishes thundering past the windows en route to Mandalay, the menace of Memsahibs in the monsoon season, and the poor people of Paris. Who among us doesn't envy the exotic life of our emissaries abroad? Valiant men such as Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller, our ambassador in Tratvia, whose day-to-day existence bears little resemblance to the mundane way of life of his homeland.
Daphne, pass a toast.
Certainly, dear. Crisp or under dust?
Medium rare. Where's the marmalade?
Under your paper, dear.
Oh, blast, what a mess.
I know, dear, but why not tear that bit off and put it on your toast?
Are you mad? That's the crossword puzzle. Oh. Now, where's the coffee gone?
In front of you, dear.
Where? Blast!
Ready for another cup, dear?
No, thank you. I'd like to keep one leg dry, if you don't mind.
Good morning, Lady Daphne, Jeremy. Lovely day. Here's the morning mail.
Huh? About time, Simpkins.
Where shall I put it, sir?
On the table.
Certainly, sir.
Not there!
If I could borrow your knife, sir, most of it'll scrape off.
Don't bother. Daphne, for the last time, will you tell the kitchen staff that in future I want me marmalade left in the pot, not in an open dish?
Well, is there anything else I can do for you, sir?
Yes. Vanish.
Certainly, sir.
Anything for me in the post, dear?
Well, hang on, I haven't sorted them yet. Two for me, one for you. Two for me, three for you. Ah, another one for me. And one for His Excellency, Comrade General Belinsky, Ambassador USSR Tratvia.
Who? You mean that little round, bald man with the square trousers and the African socks next door?
Daphne, that is hardly the way to describe a fellow member of the diplomatic corps. Even if he does look like Fred Flintstone.
Well, it was a good try. After all, the Russian embassy is next door.
Oh, for crying out loud. Open the window. Let's see if the Flintstones are still eating their breakfast.
Oh, yes, they are, dear.
Right, leave this to me. Ollie! Comrade! Yabba dabba doo, Barney! Oh, well, really. Please to hand over my letter. That does it. Anybody would think they'd heard what I said.
Perhaps they did, dear. I have told you before. Sometimes your voice does carry.
Not unless I send it. In any case, I was practically whispering.
Well, in that case, you're whispering terribly loudly, dear. Now, give me Mr. Fitzstone's letter, and I'll pop it in his letterbox when I go out this morning.
I suppose it's all right. If anyone sees the wife of the British ambassador popping notes into the Russian embassy letterbox, it could start something very nasty.
Well, don't worry, dear. I'll be discreet.
Daphne, please. I've seen you being discreet before. Everyone thought you were planting a bomb. Come in. Oh, it's you, Pettigrew. Good morning.
Yabba dabba doo, Barney. I mean, good morning, sir.
You see, dear, it does carry.
No, it thumping well doesn't.
Just as you say, dear. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good morning, Lady Daphne.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Pettigrew, but I have a feeling yours isn't going to be so hot.
Oh, dear. What seems to be the trouble, sir?
Pettigrew, there is something going on in this embassy that I don't know about.
I should have thought that was highly unlikely, sir.
Well, I know about that blonde piece of yours who sneaks up the fire escape after everyone is retired for a start.
Oh, you'd heard about my cousin.
Half Tratvia has heard about your cousin.
There's just no privacy these days.
Well, what do you expect when she goes clanking down an iron staircase in stiletto heels at 4 o'clock in the morning? Never mind about her. There is something much more serious.
You mean the fire escape has gone rusty?
No. 5 minutes ago, I happened, quite casually, to drop a remark about the Russian ambassador's appearance. From what he shouted across to me, it's quite obvious that he'd heard me.
Well, sir, their breakfast room is only 20 feet away. And even with the windows closed, your voice...
No, it does not! There is only one possible way you could have heard that conversation. We've been bugged.
Pardon?
Bugged. Microphones in your corner plates and all that nonsense.
But the security chap from London checked the whole place out only a couple of months ago, sir.
Well, you'd better get him to come back and have another look.
Well, as a matter of fact, sir, there was something in the bag this morning about security. A special warning that we should look out for...
Shh!
Eh?
Not another word!
But I was only going to...
Outside. I've seen it.
Pardon?
You stop waffling! Move!
Well, what's it?
Out! 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 Ah! Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now what?
Doorknob. Oh, thank goodness I'm 6 foot and not 5 foot 11.
Congratulations. Pettigrew, I was right. We are completely bugged.
I do wish you wouldn't keep saying that, sir.
It was on the mantelpiece, in the glass vase.
What was?
One of those blasted microphone transmitter things. Hang on. I'll open the door slightly, and you can see the thing for yourself. See?
Good gracious. You could be right, sir.
Could be. It's high time you knew that I always am. It goes with the job.
The cats. Fancy planting one of those things on us. I'll get on to security in London, sir. Because that transmitter in the vase looks very much like the one mentioned in their note this morning. Security particularly want to get hold of one of them.
Well, they know that one with my compliments. I don't want my eating habits plastered all over the front page of Pravda.
Well, I'd just as soon my cousin clanking up and down the fire escape didn't make the stop press either. You leave it to me, sir. Our security boys are pretty good when they get going.
Yes?
700 is here, sir.
Thank you, Miss Bobsworth. Send him in. The code knock on the security door is 3 short and 1 long.
3 short and 1 long. Very good, sir.
No, 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 no. The other way round. No. How's the arm?
Practically healed, sir.
Splendid.
The leg? Hardly a limb, sir.
Tattoo marks on your back?
Completely erased, sir.
Head wound giving any trouble?
Throbbing's practically stopped, sir.
And the other little matter?
Good as new, sir.
Fine, fine. I'm sending you to Chatfield. It looks as if our embassy out there has been bugged. I want you to clear it and find out how it was done.
A pleasure, sir.
Now, 1.700, Travers of the Special Equipment Branch has sent up this suitcase for you.
Do I have to take it, sir? If you remember, the last time I took one of Travers' suitcases, I tried to get my pajamas out. And blew 699 from here to eternity.
Just try to remember, James. That's what he was paid for. Now, this is the Mark IV, so I'd better run over it for you. The left lock contains a micro-dot camera in the keyhole. If you turn the right lock to the left, it projects a throwing knife concealed behind the right hinge. Under the false bottom are 18 sticks of gelignite and an incredibly short piece of fuse wire. Each of the metal corners is a Geiger counter, except this one, which contains a shortwave transmitter. However, if you get into real trouble, just press this button here. That'll blast the lid off, and the rest of the case becomes a self-inflating dinghy. Any questions?
Just the one, sir. Where do I pack my clean shirt? Well, you can, perhaps there's room in the,
Well, if you folded it up, it might,
Oh, well, of course, that's Travers all over, isn't it? You'll just have to buy one when you get there.
Very good, sir.
Oh, and there's just one other thing. The handle contains £2,000 worth of pure gold.
Oh.
Exactly. Whatever you do, 700, don't let go of that flaming handle. I signed for it.
You can rely on me, sir.
Good man. You're booked on the night flight, so you should be in track here tomorrow morning.
I'll send you a postcard, sir.
Your seconds is dear.
Thanks. Daphne, two down. What's a mineral at one time used for explosives?
Mineral at one time used for explosives? Flintstone, dear.
Of course, Flintstone.
Oh, and I wonder what made me think of that.
Dabba-dabba-doo, Barney.
Oh, it's a bit much. Every blast word. I can't even have a breakfast in peace.
Oh, never mind, dear. You just get on with your crossword.
I can't.
Oh, of course you can. You just write in the answer to two down, dear. Flintstone.
I'm trying to, but my ballpoint won't write in marmalade.
Oh, not again.
Every morning. Daphne, for the last time, will you get my blasted marmalade left in the pot or see that I get something else I can spread on my toast that's not sticky?
Of course, dear.
Come in.
Good morning, Lady Daphne, Sir Jeremy. Sorry to interrupt you, but the gentleman we were expecting from London has arrived.
What's he like?
Very odd, sir. He won't let go of his suitcase.
Really? Oh, well, I suppose they're taught not to trust anyone. Be a bit embarrassing for one of those chaps to tell M that he'd lost his luggage. Off you go, Daphne. I've got to open up my shop.
Of course, dear. Have a jolly day.
I should think that's highly unlikely. Goodbye.
Good day, Lady Daphne.
Oh, don't you start our prattling again. Fetch the other idiot in, there's a good chap.
Certainly, sir. Come this way, Mr.
Buller. Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller.
Pardon?
I think there's some mistake. This is the British ambassador, and he's Sir Jeremy Crichton Buller.
Oh, dear. Must have got my covers mixed up with my assignments.
Oh, Lord. I might have known we'd cover right one like him.
Perhaps he's new, sir. I gather there's quite a high morality rate in the Secret Service.
You mean mortality rate, don't you?
No, sir. Morality. I mean, if it came to a choice between an unnerving experience with Goldfinger or a quiet life in the Bahamas with Pussy Galore, which would you choose?
Quite.
Sir Jeremy found this new bugging device in that vase on the mantelpiece.
I see. And where is it now?
Well, it's still there. But it isn't, is it?
It's gone. I say, this is ugly, isn't it?
It certainly is, sir. It rather looks as if you've got a spy inside the embassy. What did this bugging device look like?
Well, it was about 2 inches long and bullet-shaped.
Sort of silver color.
Yeah, that sounds like the new Russian job, all right. Well, first of all, I think you'd better send a strong protest to the Russian ambassador, sir.
Certainly, that won't take long. Oi! Comrade! Get your blasted bugs out of our embassy! Lift the Konsky's apple! And you! And Stalin's trousers to you as well!
Let him put that in his samovar and smoke it.
I don't think that's quite what our friend here meant, sir, but it should do the trick.
Well, it was certainly quicker. Well, next I want to put a security check on everybody, either entering or leaving the embassy.
Oh, dear. Will it also include the fire escape?
Naturally. Until we've got this mess sorted out, I'm afraid you're going to have to forego the first secretary's perks.
Well, I understand that, sir, but will my cousin?
I doubt it. But from what I've seen up to now, I imagine the female side of your family must be pretty extensive. We'll just have to replace your cousin with a niece afterwards.
I'll do my best, sir. Now, what else will we have to do?
Well, in a case like this, I believe in fighting fire with fire. As the Russian embassy is bugging us, we'll just have to bug the Russian embassy. I'll find an adjoining wall between the two embassies and plant microphones in that.
Wonder what they are up to in there.
With any luck, sir, we should soon know.
Chernikov. Oh, it's you, Comrade Major. Member of the People's Party and First Secretariat Petrogrovich.
Da, Comrade Ambassador. The Colonel of the Glorious Soviet Secret Police has arrived.
Well, then ask the Colonel of the Glorious Soviet Secret Police to wait. I have not yet finished the highly cultural and damn difficult plot to cross there. My people's pen won't write in my one for all for one marmalade.
Oh, yet again.
Stop. Again. In future, Comrade Major Petrogrovich, I want my one for all for one marmalade in a glorious Soviet Republic pot.
At once, Comrade Ambassador Bulinski. Any further insults from the filthy, capitalist, degenerate British swine? Who? Old loudmouth next door.
Nit. On second thought, you had better request the Comrade Colonel of the Glorious Soviet Secret Police to enter. They're almost as tough as Lenin's boots. And I don't want the Comrade Colonel upset and investigating me.
At once, Comrade Ambassador.
Comrade Colonel, please to enter at once.
Greetings from Moscow, Comrade.
And how's that for a glorious People's Colonel?
Not bad at all. Remind me to attend the next Mayday parade.
Concentration, please. There is much, much work to do.
Is there? Well, when it's finished, Comrade Colonel, how about you and me going out?
Petrogrovich!
Sorry, Comrade Ambassador.
Captain Stiletto heels on the fire escape at 4 a.m. are bad enough, but superior Soviet army boots are too much.
Comrade, please.
My apologies, Colonel. By the way, would you care to put down that suitcase while we are talking?
Yes. It not only contains a Microsoft camera and a concealed throwing knife in the hinge, but also 2,000 rubles in the handle.
2,000 rubles?
Now, and if I lose the handle, the glorious Soviet people's economy has gone for a ride, vodka.
I imagine the Comrade Colonel would be slightly in the sleeve of it herself. Oh, do go on.
We shall fight fire with fire. They say we have bugged their embassy. Very well, we shall bug their embassy.
But do we need to, Comrade Colonel? The way their ambassador's voice carries means we can hear every word he says.
You should have heard him belting his imperialist tonsils out at breakfast time.
Possibly, Comrade. But they must be up to something in there, and it is my duty to uncover the plot. Tonight, I shall start planting microphones in a dividing wall between the two embassies.
Tonight? Excuse me, Comrade Ambassador. Comrade Colonel.
Now, where are you going?
As the Colonel is going to be working late, I thought I'd better contact my and cancel fire drill tonight.
No, that might be as well.
Leave everything to me, Comrade. By this time tomorrow, we shall know what the Cavalier's dogs are doing.
Well, Pettigrew, how are we doing?
I gather from the security man, sir, that he does have one clue.
What about?
The member of the embassy who may be the spy.
Oh, well done. Who is it?
He doesn't know the name yet, sir, but apparently on the day before he arrived, an elderly woman was seen leaving our embassy in a highly suspicious manner. She went straight to the Russian embassy and popped a letter through the door. After looking round furtively, she hurried off down the street.
Don't bother. I know the rest. She'll end up in the Tower of London one of these days.
Who, sir?
Lady Daphne, of course. It was her.
Good gracious, what a terrible shock. I can hardly believe it. Lady Daphne, a spy.
No, no, no. Heavens to Betsy, I'm surrounded by them. I can assure you, Mr. Pettigrew, that if my wife knew a top secret at 9 o'clock, she'd have forgotten the darn thing by 5 past.
Well, now you've come to mention it, sir, I had noticed that she does have a delightful quality of absent-mindedness.
Absent-minded? At one shipyard where she was performing the launching ceremony, she bashed the bottle of bubbly over the microphone and shouted, "I name this ship Red Pins in the managing director's ear." Poor swine must have been deaf for a month.
I see what you mean, sir. Oh, incidentally, the security chap will be in here in a moment. He's going to drill that wall and plant a microphone.
Oh, splendid. If nothing else, it might make the Treasury cough up for some new wallpaper. This map must have been selected by Clive on his way out to India.
Yes, it's not exactly hilarious, is it, sir? I've often thought that if we ripped it off and just left the rude messages written by the Tratvian workmen on the plaster, it might jolly the place up a bit.
I'm sure of it.
Sorry to disturb you, gentlemen. All right if I start planting the bugs now.
Carry on. And whatever you do, wreck that blasted wallpaper.
Right, sir. I'll try not to disturb you any longer than I can help. I wonder if I could trouble you to plug in the electric drill, Mr. Pettigrew.
Certainly.
Now, I think I'll drill just about there. Now, on second thought, perhaps here would be better.
What?
The cable won't reach.
Oh, it never fails, does it?
Off we go, then.
Oh, very odd. You've got an echo.
Well, I'll try somewhere else.
I thought that only happened halfway up mountains.
Well, perhaps it's a cavity wall. No, perhaps not.
Try again.
Oh, lummy.
Now what?
Well, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think I've hit another drill coming the other way.
Nonsense. Try somewhere else.
Right, sir.
And how many holes is that?
896. Give or take a dozen.
I can't understand it. Every time I drill, I seem to hit another drill.
Well, one more for luck. Many more holes in that wall's going to look like a dirty great piece of pegboard.
Well, I must admit that's one thing that's worrying me slightly. There must be more holes than bricks in it now. Still, here goes.
You were right, there were more holes than bricks.
Oh, crikey, what a mess. But that's one set of rubbish.
Excellency, I think I owe you a bit of an apology. My department will buy you a new wall first thing in the morning.
Well, make sure it hasn't got quite of India wallpaper on it.
You all right, sir?
Well, if that was me coughing, I wouldn't be. It's coming from next door. Anyone there?
Capitalist swine?
Yes, sir, there is. I think she wants to speak to you.
Look what you've done to our glorious people, Soviet embassy wall.
What do you mean we have? You were drilling into it as well.
Only into our half, and that was on Soviet territory.
Oh, well, really?
Well, I only drilled into our half of a wall.
Half a brick, half a brick, half a brick onwards. Into the wall of destruction drilled the gallant 700.
700, if you don't mind, Mr. Pettigrew.
Well, is that the end of the pantomime? I only ask because I would like to go to bed. I mean, if these two idiots are going to destroy another wing or something, I will stay up, but otherwise...
Excellency, I don't think you quite understand my position.
Oh, yes, I do. You've wrecked the joint.
Well, exactly. How am I going to explain that to, you don't know who in Whitehall?
And how am I going to explain this to you don't know who in the Kremlin?
Just a minute. Is that your suitcase?
Da.
What's in the handle?
2,000 rubles.
Snap! I've got 2,000 in gold in mine. Whip it off and meet me at the airport. There's a night flight to the Bahamas in half an hour.
You think I would turn traitor to the cause for a filthy English spy?
Well, wouldn't you?
Da, I'll meet you in San Bermuda Bar.
Don't forget your suitcase handle.
Right, then. All we have to do now is to explain to Whitehall how it happened that we've lost a wall, but we've gained two fully inflated dinghies.
Slightly delicate, I agree, sir. I mean, we can hardly put it down as a fair swap, can we?
And the awful thing is, we still don't know if we've got a spy in the place.
Sir Jeremy, could I be terribly frank?
By that, I presume you wish to be abominably rude.
Well, not exactly, sir, but I don't think we've got a spy at all.
Oh, don't you? Then how do you account for the fact that old Flintstone knew all my breakfast chat?
Well, sir, your voice does carry extremely...
No, it blasted well doesn't! Any case, what about that bug thing in my vase?
Oh, I'd forgotten that.
Oh, here you both are. Whatever has been going on, there's been the most dreadful crashing noise. It woke me. Jeremy!
Well?
Where's it gone, dear?
What?
Our wall.
We swapped it for a couple of inflated dinghies.
Oh, how very wise. I never did like that wallpaper. Don't you worry about the draft, Jeremy, dear. I'll make you a curtain to fill in the hole first thing tomorrow. What a bit of luck I remembered where I put it.
Pardon?
Put what?
Why, the bobbin out of my sewing machine, of course, dear. I suddenly remembered I'd left it in that vase on the mantelpiece.
The bobbin out of your sewing machine.
Yes, dear. I spotted it yesterday. I must have dropped it into the vase when I was answering the phone.
I think I'd like to go to bed. For years and years and years.
Try to look on the bright side, sir.
Bright side? Well, sir,
Lady Daphne hadn't removed her sewing machine bobbin. Think how much time we would have wasted trying to play that reel of cotton back on the wire recorder to get the secret message.
Good night, Mr. Pettigrew.
Oh, well, if you insist, sir. Good night. Sleep well.
What on it? Mr. Pettigrew?
Oh, help. My cousin. I forgot to tell her. Good night, sir.
Oh, come on, Daphne, do. We'll sort this mess out in the morning. And if my marmalade isn't in a pot at breakfast time, I shall probably sling it at Fred Flintstone and finish diplomatic relationships forever.
The Embassy Lark, written by Lonnie Wyman, starred Derek Francis as Jeremy Crichton Buller and Frank Thornton as Henry Pettigrew. Lady Daphne Crichton Buller was played by Charlotte Mitchell. Russian Colonel was Jan Waters, 700 was David Fallon, and the Security Chief was played by Michael Spice. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.